Free, or you can find them. You know, we have ways to order these books too as well. This one is William Jones's History of the Christian Church. And when he says Christian Church, he's talking about Baptists. Just so you know, he's a Baptist. So he means as opposed to other churches. he's a Baptist. So anyway, but I don't know if we'll get to all of it here today, or if we'll need to finish up some of it next week or the next time we speak on Baptist history here. But Jones's history is excellent, and he's going to give each Baptist historian will give a little bit different perspective. It's not all like uniform. So Orchards is going to have like a lot of points through the different groups, and he's going to group them by, you know, somewhat by history. J.T. Christian is going to trace the history of baptism through the centuries and the people and the different groups and kind of what was going on. Jones is going to give you a history right here of the Crusades. Because remember, last week we talked about this group here, the Henricians. All right, we've talked about the Arnoldists, I believe, and the Albigenses. We're going to talk about the Arnoldists. Arnold the Brescia, we're going to talk about him in the weeks to come. But we talked extensively for weeks about the Albigenses, okay? And these groups are all similar. Why is that? Well, they're all Baptists. That's why. They just went by different names according to the regions that they were in. The Paulicians spread out to here. The Waldenses or the Vaudois, they would spread out through there as well. Okay, so all these groups are going to be similar. Why? Well, they're Bible believers. So they baptized believers that opposed the Church of Rome. So they're all going to be very similar. There were other groups that you would not see listed up here that would have opposed Rome, but they weren't Baptist. So we wouldn't include them. Why? Well, they're not Bible believers. They didn't believe the Word of God. So they're not part of this group in that sense. They would have been around the same time, but they wouldn't be part of this group. So that's important to understand as well, okay? All right, so Revelation chapter 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth, now listen very closely, because this is the Crusades. Now, I'm not saying that Revelation 17 is depicting the actual time of the Crusades. No, it's the same spirit. Remember, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. John tells us, right? John tells us the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. We know that Paul tells us that the man of sin, the son of perdition, right? That succession of men, the son of perdition, is there, that man of sin, right? Which we believe is the Roman papacy or the Pope. Right? And it's a series of men which will ultimately culminate in the final one, that last pope that will be the Antichrist, right? Who I believe will be Jewish and run the Roman Empire. I mean, there may be people that will disagree with that. That's okay. The picture is there. We see it. It's very plain what's going on. But look what it says here. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Well, is that talking about fornication as in between a man and a woman? No. It's fornication with Babylon. It's the nations and the kings of the earth are seduced by Babylon. They are taken by spiritual seduction, right? Spiritually. This is not speaking physically. It's speaking spiritually, right? The kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They are drunken with the wine of Babylon. What is the wine of Babylon? Sodom, right? Sodom, that poisonous vine, right? Same one. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. If you just go to Rome, you can see that. You just look at the pictures of the Vatican. Look at their priests. Look at everything they do. It's them. I mean, it's almost like it was written for them. Almost like it was describing them, like, perfectly. Yeah, it is. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So in the time of 1096 to 1270, something took place in history. Now this is going to be more world history, but as it is, as it references what the Baptists were going through and the people were going through at the time. Why am I doing this? Because if you went to public school, you probably never heard of this. Amen. That's why I'm doing it. Or if you were educated in some Baptist cemeteries, you also would not have heard this. Right? Because they're full of dead men's bones, so they don't teach those things. But... Amen. You caught that, didn't you? All right. Good. Good. Good, Micah. Good. All right. But if you were to go to those schools or read their books, they would put a positive spin on the Crusades. Not if you were a Bible believer. Not if you were a Baptist. Not if you were these people. Well, then... When all the world got together and decided to take the Holy Land, what were the Baptist people doing? Staying as far away from it as they possibly could. And then standing up and preaching against their ridiculous idolatry and murder. That's what they were doing. They stood opposed to it. They had nothing to do with the Crusades. Nothing. But to oppose it, they weren't a part of it. Why? Why would they follow the Pope when he was killing them? Why would they follow the Crusades? Now, so we're going to read about it, and we won't get through all of it. I'll maybe read for half an hour, and then we'll pick it up again. But it will definitely give you a good understanding, and especially with my commentary involved with it, we will not get through it. But that's okay. Because that's what teaching is. It's not just uniform reading of something, unless it's the scriptures, right? And then but it's talking and explaining and slowing down and applying it to things that, you know, for it to make sense. Now, so Jones goes on. He says this: It has been remarked by a late eminent historian that there is no event in the history of mankind more singular than the Crusades. Mr. Hume terms them the most signal and most durable monument of human folly that has yet appeared in any age or nation in his History of England, Volume 1. The subject is indeed very remotely, if at all, connected with the kingdom of Christ. But as it forms a prominent feature in the history of the Antichrist apostasy, so it's not part of the kingdom of Christ, it's a biography of the kingdom of Antichrist, right? And as these extravagant enterprises took place towards the end of the 11th and during a considerable part of the 12th century, and especially as the relation of them throws a portion of light upon the history of Europe during this benighted period, it may not be without its use here to give a concise account of them. He said, I have purposely reserved the article for a separate section to prevent its being mingled with what regards the Waldenses and the Albigenses, who had nothing to do with these frantic expeditions except to condemn them. If they spoke about it, they condemned them. Pope Gregory VII, among his other vast ideas, had formed the project of uniting the Christians of the Western Empire against the Mohammedans and of recovering Palestine from the hands of those infidels. But his quarrels with the Emperor, Henry IV, prevented the enterprise from being achieved during his pontificate. The work, however, was reserved for a meaner instrument, for a man whose condition could excite no jealousy, and whose hand was as weak as his imagination was warm. But previous to entering upon his history, it will be proper to describe the state of the East at that time, and of the passion for pilgrimages, which then prevailed in Europe. So basically what happened was is everybody got it in their minds that they needed to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or to the Holy Land. That they needed to all take a trip over there, and that it was popular, like the Muslims, you know, would take their trips in there, that they would need to take a trip, right, to the Holy Land. They needed to go there. So all these Christians or Christianese people that spoke Christian, but they weren't really Christians, they decided, they were Catholics too, and they decided that it'd be a good idea for them to visit the Holy Land. Like, they needed to go there. That's what they had to do. So the veneration and delight with which we view those places that have been the residence of an illustrious personage or the theater of any great event has been frequently remarked by philosophers and moralists. Hence the enthusiasm with which the learned still visit the ruins of Athens and Rome, and from this source also flowed the superstitious devotion with which Christians from the earliest time were accustomed to visit that country whence their religion originated, and that city in particular in which the Savior died for the redemption of sinners. So just like now people like to visit historical places, we all do that, and visit and look at that. There was a superstition that was attached to it to go visit Jerusalem, just like there is today. People say, like, I want to get baptized in the Jordan. Why, is that water any different than getting baptized over here? Maybe muddier? Yeah. No. But they have this, like, infatuation with it to go get baptized. I'm going to go get baptized. I've heard people say it. And trips that they took, you know, that pastors will take people on. I'm not saying it's a sin to go to Israel, okay? I'm not saying that. But they take these trips, and there's, like, this superstitious connection to it. Well, it was even worse back then when popery ruled in the Dark Ages. It was way worse. Absolutely way worse, because the popes were the magicians and the sorcerers, and they ginned up all kinds of things, and they worship. Remember, this is a time of worshiping relics. This is the time of worshiping statues. This is the time of doing of venerating these things, they called it, and praying to saints and all these other things, right? So that's part of what was going on. Moreover, an opinion began to prevail over Europe towards the close of the 10th and beginning of the 11th century that the 1,000 years mentioned by the writer of the book of Revelation chapter 20 were nearly accomplished, and the end of the world was at hand, a persuasion which greatly augmented the number and ardor of the credulous devotees who undertook this tedious journey. Why? What you believe matters. What you believe about this Bible matters, and what you believe about prophecy matters. Amen? It does matter. By the way, people that have been wrong about prophecy have killed people. They've wanted to legislate the murder and the death of people. Why? Because their theology was wrong. Right? Right? Dominionists, that's right. And their theology. Oh, like one brother was telling me, I won't mention his name because I don't want to single him out in case one of those people listen to me, but some of his brothers over there in Scotland, he said some of his brothers believe in that the millennial reign is already now, and Christ is ruling and reigning, and Satan is chained. I'm like, have they taken a look at the world at all? I mean, did Peter say that Satan was chained? No, he said he's a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. Doesn't sound like he's chained. But the wrong theology, right? And that they're setting up the earth, they're ushering in the kingdom of Christ, right? What a bunch of nuts. No offense. Sort of. Anyway. A general consternation seized the minds of men. Numbers relinquished their possessions, forsook their families and friends, and hasted to the Holy Land, where they imagined Christ would suddenly appear to judge the living and the dead. So what was the Pope? Never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Never let a good scheme go to waste. He's like, it's time to capitalize on this. But in these pious journeys, the pilgrims had the mortification to find the Holy Sepulchre and the other places which had been rendered sacred by the Savior's presence fallen into the hands of infidels. The Mohammedans had made themselves masters of Palestine, which doesn't really exist, but that's okay for sake of the name they're using, soon after the death of their prophet, but they gave little disturbance to the zealous pilgrims who daily flocked to Jerusalem. And they allowed every person, on payment of a moderate tribute, to visit the Holy Sepulchre, to perform his religious duties, and to return in peace. But about the middle of the 11th century, the Turks, who had also embraced Mohammedanism, wrested Syria from the Saracens, who had now been in possession of it for several centuries, and making themselves masters of Jerusalem, the pilgrims became exposed to outrages of every kind from those fierce barbarians. So the real Muslims, the real believers, the real Muhammad believers, they started killing people that went over there. They started persecuting Christians and all those people. So every person who returned from Palestine related the dangers that he had encountered in visiting the holy city and described the cruelty and vexation of the Turks who, to use the language of the pilgrims, not only profaned the sepulcher of the Lord by their presence, but derided the sacred mysteries in the very place of their completion and where the Son of God was expected immediately to judge the world. So they came back from their trip to Palestine, or to Israel, we should call it, because that's what it is, and Jerusalem, and to the place they said was the Holy Sepulchre, which how do they know? They don't. They don't know that any of that is that accurate. There wasn't any proof of that, but let's just say that it was, right? That the Muslims had desecrated it and abused them when they visited there. So they went back to their native lands and they told everybody that the Muslims had taken over all the holy sites of the Holy Land and had taken it over, and Jesus was coming back soon, and he's going to come back and he's going to find all these Muslims in all those holy places. So we got to do something about that. As if Jesus needed their help clearing out the Holy Land. Are you following me? Like, what kind of theology do these nuts believe that they thought that Jesus Christ needed their help when he came back to clear out the Holy Land? Popery, that's what. Superstition. Was that verse that Paul read the other day? You're all too superstitious, right? Paul, you preached about that. You told them they were all too superstitious. Not what was the NIV says, you're all too religious. That's what the NIV says. You're all too religious. Right? That's what it says instead of superstitious. Right? Okay. So you get the, we're laying the groundwork here to understand what's going on with the Crusades. How did this fervor get built up? Well, a bunch of heathens are running the Holy Land. Can't have that. Can't have the heathens running Jerusalem. Right? So while the minds of men were thus roused, a fanatical monk, no, not a Roman Catholic. There wouldn't be any fanatical, crazy Roman Catholic that would come along that was working for the Pope, that was going to talk people into killing other people. That doesn't happen, does? I mean, like, nobody today gets armies all ginned up to go kill brown people, do they, over in the sand? They don't. Like there isn't anybody right now that gets, like, we didn't just bomb some people like yesterday, did we, with the British government? We didn't go and bomb those, what do they call those guys, those Houthis or the Hootie and the Blowfish guys or whatever they're called? We didn't go bomb those guys yet the other day. So there's no nations that would be ginned up enough and armies of the world ginned up enough to come together and like kill people over there. That was Bible times. Yeah, that's not now, right? Well, this man's name happened to be commonly known by the name of Peter the Hermit. Sorry, Pete. I couldn't do anything about it. It's his name. Peter the Hermit. A Frenchman. Always a Frenchman, right? Got to be a French. It's got to be the French. They are always starting trouble. How many revolutions did those fools have anyway? They just kept having them, right? Anyway, a Frenchman born at Amiens in Picardy conceived the project of leading all the forces of Christendom against the... Do you think I'm reading you fiction? I am not. I am reading you actual historical accounts. It's really what happened. I know it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Not really. We see it today. It's happening now. I'll show you in a little while. Okay, so he rounded up all of the forces of Christendom against the infidels and driving them out of the Holy Land. He made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was so deeply affected with the danger to which his fellow pilgrims were now exposed that on his return he ran from province to province with a crucifix in his hand exciting princes and people to undertake his holy warfare. And he succeeded in everywhere kindling the same enthusiastic ardor for it with which he himself was animated. When he painted the sufferings of the natives and pilgrims of Palestine, every heart was melted to compassion, except for the people that they were about ready to kill. Every breast glowed with indignation when he challenged the warriors of the age to defend their brethren and rescue their Savior. Wait, why did he need Jesus was in heaven? So the Pope heard about it, and he thought it was a great idea. Pope Urbane II, who at first hesitated, about the success of such a project, at length entered into Peter's views and summoned a council at Placentia. I don't know. That's what it's called. You can't make it up. At which so immense was the multitude of attendants that it was found necessary to hold it in the open fields. So Baptists held preaching in open fields, and the Papists held armies in open fields to go kill people with. That's what they were doing. Well, by the way, remember what Henry was doing? He was preaching in the open fields. What was this guy? What were they doing? Getting armies together to go kill people in open fields. See the difference? Which kingdom are you a part of? Christ's kingdom. I'm not part of theirs. I have no desire to go kill people or to join their crusades, which are still going on, by the way, right? Nothing's changed. Still going on till Jesus comes back to put it all down. Amen. Don't you know the final one is going to be Gog and Magog? The final crusade is going to be the whole Antichrist kingdom that comes against Jesus. That's their final crusade, isn't it? That's it, isn't it? That's the final one? It's not gonna change till Jesus comes. Right? They're gonna war, right? Continue to war, right? War, yeah, they're gonna lose bad. They're gonna lose bad by just him speaking. He's gonna just like they're gonna be gone, right? It's gonna be bad. These people better get saved now. Get on the Lord's side. Amen. They're on the wrong side. They're on the losing side. Okay, so it consisted of 4,000 ecclesiastics and 30,000 of the laity who all declared for the war against the infidels, though but few of them discovered any alacrity to engage personally in the enterprise. They were like, I'm not going, but we'll send them to die. See how that works? Wait, aren't they still doing that? Yeah. Yeah, they are. See why it's powerful to, number one, know this book, the King James Bible, but to also be a student of history and to understand it? So you stand back and you're like, whoa, I read that in Revelation 17. Whoa, I seen that in the Crusades. Whoa, that's happening now. Right? Yeah, to read, that's right. See how powerful that is? It's powerful, friend. That's why the Pope wanted to leave everybody illiterate in the Dark Ages. So none of them could read the scriptures. Why? Because these people read the scriptures, and guess what they said? They took steps back and said, we are not going to your war. We aren't going to the Holy Land. Why would we go there? We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to see churches started. We're not here to kill people. God didn't send us to kill people. You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Right? Lord, shall we now call down fire from heaven and destroy all these heathens? Nope, not yet. Put up thy sword. That's right. They that live by the sword will die by the sword. Right? The Pope, therefore, was under the necessity of calling another council. That's what they do. They call a council. During the same year at Clermont of Auvergne, which was attended by prelates, nobles, and princes of the first distinction. So first they got the ecclesiastical antichrist order together. So they got the religions all on their side to kill people. And then they got the princes on their side to kill people. See, they had to all work together. What is that? What's Revelation chapter 13? It's the beast system coming together, right? It's all of them. It's the whole beast system. You know when that doesn't happen, when people don't get involved in that, when they're a Baptist and they believe the Baptist distinct is a separation of church and state. They're like, I ain't working with you. I'm not going to your war. I'm not part of your game. By the way, it was funny. Somebody asked Eric John Phelps something the other day, a question that he's a Baptist, and they said, well, how come all these people want to drop the Baptist name? He said, that's because they don't want the suffering that goes along with being a Baptist, so they drop the name. And he also said, that's because their Baptists are the only ones that stood for separation of church and state, that they stood by it strong, that they suffered for it, that they wouldn't bend in and give in like all these hucksters are today giving in to it. And joining up the state and begging the governor and all these other things for all this other stuff. Blaspheming God by going to the state and begging for favors. Now, there's nothing wrong with writing a petition to the state like our Baptist forefathers did to stop killing us. Right? They did that. But all that's already been done in this country. Right? So begging them that they can worship the Lord and agreeing not to sing songs and agreeing not to... Yeah, right. Under the liberty that you still have here, you're going to do that? You don't even have to hide. You just got to bear a little bit of reproach and all these people look at you funny. Yeah, right. I'm not going to sing. I mean, right. Oh, dirty looks. Yeah, we got enough of them last night, didn't we? So on this occasion, the pontiff and the hermit, that could be a book, The Pontiff and the Hermit, exerted all their eloquence by the most pathetic exhortations to stimulate the audience to embark in this pious cause, at the conclusion of which the whole assembly, as if impelled by an immediate inspiration, exclaimed with one voice, "It is the will of God! It is the will of God! It is indeed the will of God!" replied the Pope, "and let this memorable saying, the inspiration surely of the Holy Spirit, be forever adopted as your cry of battle to animate the devotion and courage of the champions of Christ. His cross is the symbol of your salvation. Wear it, a bloody cross, as an external mark on your breast or shoulders, as a pledge of your sacred and irrevocable engagement." The words were accordingly adopted as the motto for the sacred standard and as the signal of rendezvous and battle in all future exploits of the champions of the cross. The symbol chosen by the devout combatants as the badge of union, and it was affixed to their right shoulder, whence their expedition obtained the name of a crusade. The bloody cross, the red cross, the bloody crucifix, right? Constantine, right? Constantine, right? The same thing, right? Same design, same war, same battle, same pope, same popery, same beast system, right? Same war. Right? That is what democracy... It is the will of God! Right? Right? Tyranny... And what did they do? They all came together, and what was their goal? It is the will of God that we go kill all these people.
Sounds like that was inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Right, yeah. That's what they said. The devotion of courage to animate. What did they say? He said it was immediate inspiration. Oh, yeah. From devils. Right? It's like Constantine's vision, right? His vision. So they all got together and they all had a symbol. They all had their red cross. And they're going to make it bloody and they're going to go kill people. And they're going to do it for Jesus. Gives a whole new meaning to onward Christian soldiers. Right? And a whole new meaning to marching to Zion. Right? With the Pope's bloody cross. Persons of all ranks now flew to arms with the utmost ardor. Not only the gallant nobles of that age and their martial followers, whom the boldness of a romantic enterprise might be supposed to allure, but persons in the more humble and pacific stations of life, ecclesiastics of every order, and even females, concealing their sex beneath the disguise of armor, engaged with emulation in a cause which was deemed so sacred and meritorious. So the women chopped their hair off, stuck a helmet on, and went to war. Like they're doing now? America! Right? I mean, people say like, well, I mean, that's not the same because, I mean, we're not like, well, who are you going to fight? Muslims. And other people. And how are you doing it? Well, you're taking an army and you're going over to the Middle East and you're fighting. And you're going to kill people over there. And you're taking whole villages down. And like Brother Paul said, when that one guy told him they had a road they had to get there, it didn't matter if it was men, women, and children, whatever's in their way, just blow them all. Just blow them all up. You just a straight line, straight through. Just blow it all up, all the way through. But that only happens now. That didn't happen back then. Well, hold on. We'll get to that. We'll see if it's becoming familiar to you. And you're like, huh, boy, this sounds eerie, doesn't it? Eerily familiar. Right? Right? Turn them all to glass. That's what John McCain said. Bomb, 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 Iran. Remember he sang that Beach Boys song? He sang it to that tune and he was dancing when he sang, like he was like these people, you realize they're sick, right? You realize they're, and if you can make somebody think that they're killing people in the name of your God, they will think they do with God's service. Why are you so surprised that that's true? Why is most of fundamentalism so surprised as they teach their children to join the military and to do all these things? Why are they so surprised? Like they don't, do they ever read that?
They have a whole chaplaincy corps to do that.
Right, right. To bless them in their journey, right? As they do what they do. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah. Even females concealing their sex beneath the disguise of armor, engaged with emulation in a cause which was deemed so sacred in Meritus. The greatest criminals entered with alacrity? I think I said that right. Alacrity, thank you. Alacrity. What's that?
Don't ask me to define it.
Me neither, but it sounds cool. Into a service which they regarded as a propitiation for all their offenses. So they hired hardened criminals to go on the Crusades and they would be absolved of all their sins. Right? What's that? Dave, did you say something? Yeah, they were mercenaries, that's right. Which they regard as a propitiation. Who's the propitiation for our sins? Jesus. Not going to the Holy Land and killing people. If they succeeded, they'd get that. They'd get the reward. They flattered themselves with the hope of making their fortunes in this world. And if they died, they were promised a crown of glory in the world to come. Well, that sounds like jihad, right? Promise all the virgins and to go to heaven and be forgiven. You know, and you live. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you work salvation, you'll get people to do anything. I mean, they'll poison people. They'll kill people. They'll rape. They'll murder. They'll pillage. They'll do whatever if they can earn heaven. Right. But if they didn't win.
Trump wouldn't go visit that cemetery over there. He said they're a bunch of losers.
Losers, yeah. They had to win, right? They gotta win. You gotta win. Right? You're gonna win so much you're gonna be tired of winning. You all tired of winning yet? Huh? Devotion, passion, prejudice, and habit all contributed to the same common end, and the combination of so many causes produced that wonderful emigration which induced the daughter of Alexis Comnenus, the emperor of Constantinople, to say this, that Europe, loosened from its foundations and impelled by its moving principle, seemed in one united body to precipitate itself upon Asia. So all of Europe invaded all the forces. I could see why if you were like a Waldensian, you would literally be thinking that, man, this has got to be like closest to Armageddon you're going to get here, man. I mean, this is like, they believe the Pope was the Antichrist already, so they were like, hey, he's Antichrist. We know it. He's gathering all the armies up in the earth. Guess what we're not doing? Not going with him. We're not on his team. We're staying. He already tried to kill us for 500 years. We're not on that guy's team. That's for sure. We know who he is. They understood it. They got it. You see why it's really sad that how many Baptist pulpits could you walk into today and never hear anything against the Antichrist, Roman Catholicism, and the papacy? You don't hear anything about it. They don't talk about corrupt government. They don't talk about any of it. They're silent. Why? It's easier. No one gets offended then. When you get into specifics, then you don't have to make decisions. Right, tone that down a little bit. Calm that down a little bit. It's a little bit too excited. These guys don't tone it down, though. Out in the street last night, they didn't tone it down. Those men came up and attacked us and ripped our microphone out of the... ripped our amp up, right? Attacked our guys. They weren't toning it down. But you guys need to be quiet. Literally, a guy that was watching defended them, their behavior, and said, well, you did say some stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So that means it's okay that just because you're annoyed and you don't like it. I looked at him, I said, you know what? Annoying people is not illegal. That's not illegal to annoy people. Trust me, it happens to me every day. People annoy me all the time. It's not illegal. Right? Amen. Right, Paul? People annoy you all day long, but that's not illegal. No, I don't beat them up when they annoy me. I don't rip their microphone out, and I don't, like, try to take them down. Right? Just because they annoy me. Unless it's Garrick. I might try that once in a while, but that's... nah, not yet. I saw what happened. I'm not doing that. I saw those guys. They all went down. We're going to put music to that. You wait to see it. You're going to love it. Church bloopers. It'll be great. But, right, they... people, how many, you don't think we're annoyed when we get out there? Like, nothing annoys us. We don't attack them. We never attack them. We never do anything like that to them. Never get physical with them. They always do with us. Because that's their spirit. It's this spirit. It's this one. The one we're talking about. That's the spirit they have. It's that spirit of Antichrist. I'm going to kill you if I can't change what you believe. I'm going to kill you. I want to kill you because I can't change what you believe. Yeah, and eat you, like that one guy told me. I'd eat you. I gave him 3 chances to repent of wanting to eat me. He didn't. The last thing he said to me, yeah, I'm not mad at you anymore, but I would eat you. Are we friends now? I'd still eat you. Oh, yeah, I would. I believe him, don't you? Look what those people do. Don't you believe he'd do it? Oh, I do. I bet nobody believed Jeffrey Dahmer was going to eat him, did they? Yeah, he was a homo. That's the spirit they have. It's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what these people were. Same thing. They do the same thing. The number of adventurers soon became so great that their more experienced leaders were apprehensive. The greatness of the armament would defeat its own purpose. They therefore wisely permitted an undisciplined multitude, computed at 300,000 men, to go before them, under the command of Peter the Hermit. Wait, you put an army of 300,000 people under the command of a hermit? What could go wrong? And a guy named Walter the Moneyless. I'm not kidding you. No, was he a Baptist? He was the Baptist apostate, Walter the Moneyless. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any money. He was broke. And Walter the Moneyless, I'm not kidding you, and other wild fanatics. Peter at the head of his army was sent 300,000 men gathered together. And women, I think. They were under hoods, so who knows. But 300,000 men are, in the name of God, are going to go over there and kill people. Mm. Peter at the head of his army with sandals on his feet and a rope about his waist. Marched through Hungary and Bulgaria towards Constantinople. A German priest of the name of Godescaldus, followed by a numerous bandita, took the same route, and trusting to heaven for a miraculous supply of all their wants, they made no provision for substance on their march. That was smart. So in other words, they didn't pack a lunch. They didn't pack any supplies. You know where they were going to get them, don't you? Yeah, they're going to start killing people. That's exactly where they're going to get it from. Oh, you didn't pack any lunch? Yeah, you got 300,000 men that are starving. They ain't got no food. They didn't bring nothing with them. What are they going to do? Loot, pillage, murder, rape, kill. All in the name of the Pope, the papacy, right? They made no provision for substance on their march. They were not long, however, in finding themselves reduced to the necessity of obtaining by plunder what they presumptuously expected from miracles. So who were their first victims? Who do you think they were? Take a guess. Who were their first victims? Do I have a man that wants to give a guess?
Real Christians.
Nope. Remember where they're going. Lucius.
Jews.
The Jews, that's correct. They're gonna... Who's got the money over there? They're going to kill the Jews. What are they going to do? The Jews were the first victims of their plunder, considering themselves as enlisted in the service of Christ. They concluded that they were fully warranted to take vengeance on his murderers. And they therefore put to the sword without mercy such as refused to be baptized, seizing their property without the smallest regard to the rights of justice. Well, of course, they're papist. What did they do? Oh, you don't want to be baptized? Okay, you're dead, and we're going to take your land and all your goods. Kill your wife and children. In Bavaria alone, 12,000 Jews were massacred. See, you want to wonder, like, okay, so... where does this, like, weird, creepy, like, scary, satanic Jewish hate come from? The papacy. It's always come from the papacy. That's who does it. Like, they have their certain court Jews that they have in high-level places that work for the Pope, that work for him to sell out their own people. Like, in Israel, Ariel Sharon, Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, no, he really wants to help the Jews. Like, take, like, he's going through there and he's clearing out Palestine, or he's clearing out what's it called again? The Gaza Strip. He's clearing out the Gaza Strip because he's a Masonic Jewish papal court Jew. He's working with them. Just like he's working with the guy that. Just like he's working with the guy over in, I think it's Jordan, there's a rich Muslim oil man that sits over there that runs all those Muslims around there and leads the Muslims that are in the Gaza Strip, and all, like, they both know each other. They're invested in the same company. In fact, you can see that when Yasser Arafat was alive, and I think it was either Ariel Sharon or Benjamin Netanyahu, they both had investments in the same companies. Yeah, like you can. That's like fact. You can find that. That's not. Barry Chomish, a man named Barry Chomish, wrote a book on it. You can get it, which I'm going to get, by the way. But he wrote a book on it that shows all the connections that they're selling out. The labor Zionists are selling out their own people. They have to. Why? Well, because they're getting paid to, number one, and they're Antichrist, number two, and they're going to set up a temple there for the Pope, and the Pope's going to sit in the temple of God, saying he is God. Remember, that's how. Remember, who did they say the Pope was? He was the king of the Jews. They said, we have no king but Caesar. Until they repent, right? Until they repent, which God is able to graft them back in. Amen. And he will. But this is what's happening. But the Jews were not to be found everywhere. Oh, excuse me, let me back up. In Bavaria alone, 12,000 Jews were massacred, and many thousands more in other provinces of Germany. But you thought the first time Jews were massacred in Germany would have been Hitler? No. The Pope's always done that to Jews. Always. Looted, plundered, pillaged, murdered, stole. Yeah. The papacy owns much of the land in Jerusalem, in Israel. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the Jews were not to be found everywhere. These pious robbers, having tasted the sweets of plunder and being subject to no military regulations, began, of course, to pillage without distinction, till the inhabitants of the countries through which they passed rose in defense of themselves and families and nearly destroyed them all. Peter, however, with the remnant of his army, consisting of about 20,000 starving wretches, at length reached Constantinople, where he was reinforced by a multitude of the rabble from Germany and Italy, who, by pillaging the churches and practicing the greatest disorders, had contrived so far to follow their leader. Alexis Comnenus, the Greek emperor, was astonished to see his dominions deluged with an inundation of licentious barbarians, strangers alike to order and discipline, and especially on being told of the multitude that were following under different leaders. Thus circumstanced, however, he very wisely considered that the most prudent step he could take was to get rid of such troublesome guests as soon as possible by furnishing them with vessels to transport themselves to other sides of Bosphorus. And Peter, the general of the crusade, soon found himself in the plains of Asia at the head of a Christian army ready to give battle to the infidels. So what did he do? He wanted to get them out of his country as fast as he wanted to get them away from him. Because why? They're just a bunch of thieves and murderers. They're cutthroats. Their first engagement was with Solomon, the Sultan of Nice. Is it Nisi, Jacob? Is that what it is? Nice, Nisi, is that what it is? Yeah. Who fell upon the disorderly crowd and slaughtered them almost without resistance. Walter the Moneyless and many other leaders of equal celebrity were slain. He died moneyless. But Peter the Hermit found his way back to Constantinople, where he was regarded as a maniac who had enlisted a multitude of infatuated people to follow him. They're like, that guy was nuts. He goes back to Constantinople, and people are like, why did you do that? And they all looked at him like, you're just amazing, like he's insane. Because he went over there and challenged that sultan, and what did he do? He wiped the floor with all of them. he mowed all of them down. He just like slaughtered them. He's like, you ain't taking the Holy Land from me. So he slaughtered them. Asia was then divided into a number of petty states, comprehended under the great ones. The princes of the lesser states paid homage to the caliphs, though they were in effect their masters, and to the sultans, who were very numerous, still further enfeebled the Mohammedan Empire by continual wars with each other. Remember, their hand would be against every man. That's why Russia said, okay, we're done doing this. I mean, we're just keep losing in Afghanistan. This is just stupid. Right? I mean, you have tribal wars. They never get along with each other. They always want to fight. And what's the... I could tell you that by looking at the scriptures. What does it say about them? It says that... They'd be like a wild ass, and their hand would be against every man. Like, you're not going to stay away from them. Just leave them alone. Just stay away from them. Let them do their own fighting each other, because you're not going to preach the gospel to them. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, right? But you just stay away from them. Don't get involved in their wars. You're not going to win. It's not going to end until Jesus comes. So why are you over there doing it, right? Well, you're over there doing it because you're working for the Antichrist. That's why. Okay? That's what it's about. The crusaders, therefore, who when mustered on the banks of the Bosphorus, amounted to the incredible number of 100,000 horsemen and 600,000 footmen, were sufficient to have conquered all Asia, had they been properly disciplined, united under one head, or commanded by the leaders who acted in concert. But they were conducted by men of the most independent, intractable spirits, unacquainted with discipline and enemies to civil and military subordination. Their zeal, however, their courage, and their irresistible force still carried them forward and advanced them to the object of their expedition in defiance of every obstacle. After an obstinate siege, they took Nisi, the seat of old Solomon, the Sultan of Syria. They also made themselves masters of Antioch, the seat of another sultan, and entirely broke the strength of the Turks, who had for a long time tyrannized over the Arabs. On the fall of the Turkish power, the Caliph of Egypt, whose alliance the Crusaders had hitherto courted, recovered the authority of the Caliphs of Jerusalem. He therefore sent ambassadors to the leaders of the Crusades, informing them that if they would throw away their arms, they might now perform without molestation or inconvenience their religious vows in the holy city, and that all pilgrims who should from that time visit the Holy Sepulchre might expect the same good treatment which they had ever received from their predecessors. So what happened was, the normal people that weren't Muslims, that they were just Arabs, that they weren't gonna, they said, we'll go back, the Sultan, we put the Muslims down, okay, so they're not gonna molest you anymore, you can go visit your holy sites, and we don't have to have this war. Wait, you mean they were trying to make peace with them? Yeah. Well, do you think the Pope is capable of peace? Do you think a New World Order, One World Order operative, the Antichrist, who desires to rule the whole world, he believes he has the two keys, he has the spiritual and the temporal power, do you think he's going to make peace with anyone? Uh-uh. His offer was, however, rejected. He was required to yield up the city to the Christians. That means the papacy. Don't forget that. When they're talking about those things, that's not these people, the real Christians. That's the papacy. They're talking about either you turn over the control of Jerusalem to the papacy, right? And on his refusal, Jerusalem was besieged, the possession of which was the great object of their armament and the consummation of their labors. So they had to have control. The army of the Crusades, we'll finish with this point here, and then we'll be done for tonight, and we'll continue on next week. The army of the Crusaders was now greatly reduced in number, partly by disasters and partly by the detachments they had been obliged to make in order to keep possession of the places they had conquered, in so much that, according to the testimony of historians, they scarcely succeeded 20,000 foot and 1,500 horse, while the garrisons of Jerusalem consisted of 40,000 men. Yet notwithstanding this diminution of force, after a siege of 5 weeks, they took the city by assault and put the garrison and the inhabitants to the sword without distinction. The brave were not protected by arms, nor the timid by submission. Neither sex were spared. Infants perished by the same sword that pierced the supplicating mother. These Christians, in the name of Jesus, are killing these babies. The streets of Jerusalem were covered with heaps of slain, and the shrieks of agony or despair resounded from every house. When these triumphant warriors, glutted with slaughter, threw aside their arms, still streaming with blood, and advanced with naked feet and bended knees to the sepulcher of the Prince of Peace. Do you get it? They have blood on their hands, the blood of babies, the blood of women and children on their hands, and they're going to go worship God with their bloody hands? Do you get it? This is why I think they're sick. And I'm not joining, and I'm preaching against joining their armies and against being part of it, because it's bloody. Amen. It's murderous. And that's what they want. They want to turn your children into killers. And I don't care who doesn't like it. You don't see a bunch of military people at this church, do you? You see some ex-ones that got right with God, don't you? Right. But we're not doing that. Why? Because it's sinful. Why would we go fight? Why would we go join the Crusades? And raise your children up to go die for the Pope's Crusades? When your own President of the United States has said, stay the course, stay the course. What do you see when you look into the Pope's eyes? God. Why are Baptists so stupid then? Why are they so dumb? You don't like my speech. Well, I don't like people killing babies. How do you like that? Okay? I don't like your frank speech. That's too mean. You shouldn't be so mean. Really? Well, why are they stupid then? Is that mean enough for you? Why are they dumb enough when a guy that led them all to go fight people over in Iraq? You say, my kids don't say stupid. Why ain't your kid? Right? And it's stupid. Why would you go follow a man that literally sent armies over to a country that didn't do anything to them? Weapons of mass destruction? Right? And then he laughed about it at the Al Smith Jesuit dinner. Right? When they all get together and they laugh at how stupid Americans are and how stupid we all are for paying all our taxes to people that are killing us, right? Poisoning us and gathering our children over to take the armies over and go kill brown people in the sand over there. Well, it's like, okay, so what are we going to Iraq for again? Like, why are we doing that? Last time I checked, Saddam Hussein wasn't over here, but your buddy Osama bin Laden was over here. You guys that, you know, you ran your oil together, you and Bush and old man Bush, and you all had, like, you all ran oil, like, and a year before that, Osama bin Laden was at Mayo Clinic. Good story, bro. And now let's get all together and stay the course and go put down the terrorists at. Well, if you really wanted to put down the terrorists that took down the World Trade Center, it would probably be the presidency and Congress.
Right, right.
The what's that?
You're with us or you're with the terrorists.
Right, right. That's what he said. Yeah. You're either with us or you're with the terrorist. And then they sent out a memo to all the Baptist churches and all the people to encourage their people to stay the course. Stay the course. Right? You got to stay the course. So then this guy totally admits to you that he believes that the Pope is God. And like you don't get that or what? Well, maybe it's because they go to all these Baptist cemeteries and they don't learn anything. They don't know history. They don't know any of it. They don't know their Bible, number one. They don't get taught the Bible. Yeah, they don't even, they're real Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars. Look, I took 1 year Greek, I know. I didn't, I never took Greek. I eat Greek food. I never had a lot of Hebrew food, but I have had a lot of Greek food. Euros are good, I like them. Right? The streets of Jerusalem were covered with heaps of slain and the shrieks of agony or despair resounded from every house when these triumphant warriors, glutted with slaughter, threw aside their arms, still streaming with blood, and advanced with naked feet and bended knees to the sepulcher of the Prince of Peace, sung anthems to that Redeemer who had purchased their salvation by his death, and while deaf to the cries of distress from their fellow creatures, dissolved in tears for the sufferings of the Messiah. So inconsistent is human nature with itself, and so easily does the most degrading superstition associate both with the most heroic courage and with the fiercest barbarity. We're going to stop there. That'll give you something to think about for a week, right? And there's a lot more. There's a lot more with it, but that's okay. It gives you the understanding and the idea. Can you believe? So what did they do? Propaganda is strong. It's powerful. Propaganda by governments, propaganda. And people get mad at me when I dare question things, right? When I question, well, you can't like believe like every conspiracy. No, but I definitely can't believe the government either. I definitely can't believe them.
That's why in the government, like I remember in history classes, just it was remembering dates.
Right.
The date of the Alamo. The date
right.
Of the dates.
Right.
None of them.
No, none of this, though. None of what actually happened. Yep, Dave.
It's actually done by design.
Yes.
To make average individuals bored from history so they never seek out the truth themselves. Yep. It's a psychological warfare.
Well, that's what some lady said to me when she's listened to me for a few years now on Baptist history and stuff like that. And she was like, nobody really teaches this. Like you're teaching it and you're talking about it and you're like getting it out there. Like, this is not a typical history class. It's not. It's because history is alive. It is interesting, and it is a powerful thing, and you ought to know it. You ought to know the scriptures, number one, as your authority of faith and practice. And then you ought to see the things that God has shown us in history plainly as that evidence of those things. It's there, right? And we always go back to the scriptures as our rule of authority for everything. But you can see that Revelation 17 talked about what? And we haven't even got to that yet. We're going to get to that if we're here next week, next Sunday afternoon, or if we're at that event, it'll be the week after. But if you understand this, one thing that you will see with this, the kings of the earth, we didn't even get to really all the kings that got together with this, because they didn't only just use those men. They got kings together and countries together, nations together to do this. And why they did and how they did is a very interesting story. But here's a clue. You'll find it in Revelation 17, how she, the great whore, did it and does it now. Still does it. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we can open this King James Bible up and we know truth from it. We have truth from it. And then we can see in history and we can see in the present day that spirit of Antichrist already at work. Lord, we pray for the souls of men that are lost and dead in sins, that they would come to know Christ as Savior. We pray for our brethren that need to come out of her and be not a partaker of her sins. Those that are saved, that need to get right with God in these areas and not join in those things, but reject them, stand opposed to them, and stand for Christ's kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.